So this week I will be talking about the parable on the mustard seed and the yeast. And these two things are very important in my life. One more than the other, not so much the mustard seed. But we have learned over the last few weeks about various parables in the Bible. And we have learned that these parables are used to help help the people of that time, like I mentioned, understand the kingdom of God. And literally, the Bible is comparing gardens to the kingdom of God. That's right up my alley, even though I'm not always successful at everything, but I continue to try. We have learned that these parables can be a little confusing, but through searching the scriptures, through understanding the culture, and our interpretation can help us understand the kingdom of God. A lot of times when I'm reading scripture, I want to cross-examine them. I want to see where it's talked about in the Old Testament versus the New Testament. Or if one person talked about it here and then they re-said it again. I always feel like with parents, when y'all say something twice or three times, you really mean it. It's you want us to take focus on it. You want us to take it to heart. And so when I see some of these scriptures that are repeated with different different people and different time periods, I'm like, okay, that's important. It's been in there more than once. But as I was trying to cross-examine and look at these verses, these are two of the shortest parables. The shortest parables that we've been going through. But there's so much to learn about the kingdom of God and how it relates to our community today and our assignment to build the kingdom. I'm going to need some participation today, okay? So if I say repeat it, you know, humor me, repeat it. So please say kingdom equals community. Yes, and we will be coming back to that, okay? Kids, I'm looking at y'all. What are you guys going to remember? Kingdom and community. One more time. Thank you, Ricky. And all the other people that were quiet. I know you said it too. So the parable of the mustard seed comes from Matthew 13, 31 through 32, but is also told in Mark 4, 30 through 32 and Luke 13, 18 through 19. And the parable of the yeast comes from Matthew 13, 33. Like I said, these are like one or two verses. Very, very short, but powerful. Let's read the verses from Matthew together. Not together, but I'll read them to you guys. So Matthew 13, 31 through 33, he told another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet it grows. It is the largest garden plant and becomes a tree so that the birds come and perch in its branches. And some people might think, like, okay, mustard seed, there are bigger things that come from seeds, but in correlation to the size of the seed versus the potential for that tree, it is categorized as the smallest. Verse 33 says, he told them still another parable. One verse. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. We are told that the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. And that may seem a little bit random, but there is purpose for it. And like I think I already mentioned it, it's the correlation between the size of the seed and the potential for the plant. But the focus is not all on how we start. We may feel small, we may feel unneeded like the mustard seed, but what this small seed produces is much more than its beginning. So some of you may have sat in your seats and you saw a little bag and seeds in it. Anybody get them? Yes, yes, good. So those of you that have mustard seeds, look at your package. They may be on the seat. If you have mustard seeds, raise your hand. Everybody look around. So we have a few people that have mustard seeds. And that's great. That's great. We got a few people with a few seeds. Though these may be tiny, the scripture tells us that it grows and it grows and it grows. It grows so big that even birds perch on it and find rest and refuge. And when I read that, that was like, wow. I think about God and how he also gives us rest and refuge. He gives us a safety. Think about how we can correlate that to the kingdom. If we look at those seeds individually, we may not think much of it. I actually just did some research about making my own mustard. And I know you would use mustard powder in different things, but I didn't realize how simple it is to make mustard. So even in this, you know, me preparing to give this message, like I'm even getting more out of it because, like I said, I don't really use mustard. And so one of the two things is more important, but you can probably guess because it's a mustard seed and the yeast. Thank you. I told you I need audience participation. There we go. Let me see. If we take what God has given us and create refuge for others, look at how many people will be blessed. You may not even use the products of your mustard seed, but just by you growing it, just by you cultivating it, you are taking care of the community around you. And sometimes we don't think about the birds or the bugs and things like that, but there are some bugs that I don't know why Jesus created because I just don't know. Maybe I'll get that revelation if I make it to heaven. But there is a purpose for everything. And even if you're not using the product that you're growing, there's benefit to it. If we are all growing spiritually and begin to plant seeds in other people, we will begin to see how our small seed can blossom into something bigger than we can imagine. And the kingdom of God grows, because that's our goal. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We spread our love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness to other people so that they may find refuge, so they may find peace. So I encourage you to plant those seeds in those who are around you and see the fruit and refuge for others. Oh, wait, I had to change to what I wrote down here. Okay. So there are some other seed packs out there. So if you have a bell pepper, I think it's a bell pepper mix. Look at your bags. Go ahead and raise your hand if you got a bell pepper. Okay. Did anybody get corn seeds? Got some corn. What about carrots? Did anybody get those little carrot seeds? I hate planting carrots. If anybody has any ideas on how I can successfully grow carrots, find me after church. Anybody have squash seeds out there? Got some squash seeds and beets. I love growing beets and I love eating beets. Yeah, Ricky got beets. Individually, if we grow that one crop, individually we have that one crop. And if you grow it, your family can benefit from it. Maybe your neighbor can benefit from it. And while there may be many things that we can do with the various fruits and vegetables that we grow, what would happen if everyone just in this room grew a crop? But not just grew it, and like me, I can it or make a jelly or preserve it, dehydrate it, put it in the freezer. Like, yes, it's benefiting me, but what if each one of us that had a crop grow then brought it together and was able to share it with someone else? Think about how many people would be fed I'm just growing one thing. I just have tomatoes. But somebody else may be growing peppers. Somebody else may be growing onions. And you start to put those things together, and first thing that pops into my mind is salsa, okay? So look what those individual seeds that we plant, how it can affect our community. Once again, repeat after me, kingdom equals community. So we have to think, what are we cultivating? We know that we don't know because some seeds are weird and they don't grow. But our intention when we plant a seed is to watch it grow, to nurture it, to gain something from it. Look at the other things that we are cultivating in our life. Are we cultivating joy in our own lives? Are we feeding our system to outwardly put out joy so we can have it and other people can have it? Like, when you are cultivating those things, share them. Just like the idea with the fruits and vegetables, share that joy. And it may not be a word that you say to someone. It may not even be a coworker or a family member, but how you live your life is God's joy a result of what you're cultivating in your life. Is it peace? Do you struggle with peace? I know sometimes I do. It doesn't matter what position you may hold, if you're a teacher or a pastor or a janitor, or you're going to work at the Dollar General across the street. There is something that is in you, and we need to share it. Forgiveness. Is that something that you struggle with and you're like, God, help me? Like, that happened 20 years ago, and I'm holding on and I still have anger and resentment. And so I'm working on cultivating forgiveness in my life. If that means I need to pray more, if I need to drink more water, if I need to seek counsel, whatever we need to cultivate it, because as we live those lives, as we're walking up and down the street, as we're in Walmart, then our lives should produce those. And the people around you can begin to see what you're cultivating in your life. Is it love? Share it. Faith, patience, whatever it is. And a lot of the times, and I won't say everybody, but for me, the things that I'm trying to cultivate in my life are things that I struggle with in my life. And so, but what am I feeding it? What am I feeding it? When I think about infections that people get, there are certain foods and certain things that you do that feed that infection. And so the doctors may say, hey, you got to stop eating dairy. You got to stop eating meat, whatever it may be. But a lot of times we don't think about that in our spiritual lives. It's like, God, I got these seeds of doubt and fear and hatred, but what am I feeding it? What am I trying to produce with that? So with the individual things that we are working to cultivate in our lives, yes, we will grow spiritually, but what happens when we share things with others? What happens when we tell our stories? Because we all have stories. And even when we may not recognize it, there are testimonies in our lives of God's goodness, of his grace, of his love, and his forgiveness. But when we begin to share our stories and share what we've done to heal the things that are happening inside of us, as we share that with others, we encourage others. That's like a new branch in the kingdom of God. And we've seen, and I haven't physically planted a tree myself. I know some of you guys probably have planted trees. And there's different stages of that tree. When the trunk is really small and you have to support it with things, that's a part of the process, and that's okay. So you may be in a time where you need some extra support, someone to lean on, something to hold you up straight when you want to crumble. But then as it gets taller than you now, and you're like, okay, it's growing. And we see new, stronger branches. We see the trunks getting bigger, and that growth, that is the kingdom of God. So every time we share our stories, every time we let other people know what God has done with us or the areas that we are struggling in, we are growing the kingdom of God. And I had a random thought because I'm corny. And I was like, think of the Jesus trees that we tend to be, or we should be. You know, where we may be dropping seeds wherever we go. If you think about nut trees, you know, pecans and almonds, they drop down. And sometimes we don't pick them all up. And then we'll see a little sprout come. I'm like, what is that? And as it grows, we're like, wait a minute, that's a fruit tree. So when you're dropping those love seeds and forgiveness seeds and hope seeds, all of them may not be picked up, but we see the evidence by what comes in that next season. Matter of fact, it may not be even in that season. In a little detour, I had a plant, and I told Carrie I had testimony about my tomato plants. Found a time to say it. I bought a tomato plant, very tall, probably 3 feet tall. And Roy and I, we were out planting them. And my husband is not as gentle as I am. And he broke it. He was trying to plant it. Put your hand down, don't be excited. He broke it, and there was just a little bit that was still connected. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this was the biggest plant. I was excited to see this type of tomato. And he was like, we'll just plant it deeper. And so he dug a little bit deeper beyond the break. And I was like, okay, well, now we just had to watch and see what'll happen. Is it irreparable? And so the summer has gone on. I think I had 6 tomato plants in that bed. And that plant grew, and it grew, and it grew, and it grew. no flowers. No flowers equals no fruit. And I'm like, well, it grew and grew and grew. And then towards the end of the summer, it started to die. And I was like, we tried. We tried really hard. And Roy said, hey, are you ready for me to clear out the tomato bed? And I was like, no, don't do it yet. Because I looked at some of my plants and I just saw a little bit of green coming back, some new sprouts coming. I was like, well, I've never gotten two yields out of tomatoes before, but I'm also in a new state, so maybe that's an Arkansas thing. But I haven't seen it before. But I decided I'm going to prune them all back, like literally probably to about 4 inches off the ground. And I went out, and I had stopped even going out every day to look, because I'm like, they're done. If something's going to happen, it'll happen, but I don't need to watch every day. And I went out there, and that plant that was broken had new green sprouts. And I was like, what? Like, it was dead. I mean, the stem was dry. It was cracked. There was nothing green on it when I looked. And I was like, okay, this plant just didn't make it. But when I went out that day, I began to see those green sprouts. And I said, Roy, you can't cut it down. You can't cut it down. Something may be happening, even though I never got a blossom. And somebody's going to make a short joke, but it was taller than me. See, you guys weren't supposed to laugh. Y'all weren't supposed to laugh. That tomato plant was taller than I was. And I was like, okay, well, let's just see what happens. And I began to watch it. I even looked at it last night. There are flowers on that plant that never produced a flower before, ever. And so I'm like, okay, God, well, what are you doing? Because I pray with my plants. I talk to them, water them, call them pretty. You know, let me do your hair and make sure you're all together. And I'm like, okay, well, God, well, maybe I will get a tomato. So I'm going to have to update you guys because I have flowers, probably like 5 to 10 of them. So we'll see how that goes. So back what I actually have written down. As I mentioned earlier, we're talking about the mustard seed and the yeast, and one is more important than the other one. And for me, it is yeast. Since moving to Arkansas and quitting my job, my goal was to make all of our own bread. And we have been here almost a year, and other than like buying hot dog buns to take to an event, we have made bread every single week for almost a year. And not only have we made bread, we have shared yeast with other people so that they can also see the increase. So let's talk about this yeast a little bit more. If you've experienced yeast before, it's very fine. It's small, thinking back to the mustard seed. And I get it vacuum packed. And so once you pierce that hole, it's like, and it kind of gets a little bigger. And if you've known it, if you've used it before, or maybe your mom, grandmother, or someone has used it, you know that yeast is a very, very important thing to something called yeast bread. No matter if you're making a loaf of bread or rolls or whatever you may be using. This growth could happen from natural yeast if anyone does sourdough. I have been unsuccessful, so once again, if you make good sourdough starters, come see me. But this growth in bread could happen from yeast. It could happen from baking soda, baking powder, eggs, and there's a lot of other things too that will cause bread to leaven. But for growth to happen, something has to be added. Once your dough has all been combined, you have to let it rest. And during that rest period, something happens. Something magical happens, because you may have just a shaggy dough, and you're like, this doesn't even look like anything close to what I want it to be or my plan is to be. But when you cover it, keep it warm, something begins to happen. It changes textures. It gets bigger. It grows. The thing about the kingdom of God is that we don't have to add anything to it. We don't need eggs. We don't need natural yeast, because we serve a God who is the God of increase. Who, when we plant those seeds, he's like, I got it from here. I will do it. 1 Corinthians 3:4-9 says, what after all is Apollo? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to you each task. I planted the seed. Apollo watered it, and God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters has one purpose. And they each will be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. We are God's kingdom. If we continue to plant seeds by sharing the word of God, showing the fruits of the Spirit, we will indeed see the fruit. Not because of anything that we have done. We have been obedient to do what God has asked us to do, but God is the one that gives that increase. If I'm gonna get tomatoes off that plant, it'll be God because I stopped fertilizing it. You know, it rained. Matter of fact, I may have issues after all that rain that we got yesterday, but it's in God's hand. But if we continue to do this, we continue showing the fruits of the Spirit, we will indeed see the fruit. And we will see an increase like the yeast blooming. And we will see change in the texture of our lives and the texture of other people's lives around us. We will see the kingdom of God grow into something huge, and even more people will find refuge, because that's our goal. We build the kingdom, create refuge for people so that they come to know who Jesus lives. All God asks us to do is live. Live a life where your spiritual life begins to change the lives of those around you. Plant the seed and watch God give the increase. And just like the yeast, when added to flour, causes change, our lives should be causing a reaction in our community. The texture of our community will begin to change. We will grow. The texture will begin to change. The outcome of our spiritual growth will be recognized just as the mustard seed. We may be small. I may be one person. But what I can grow to is so much bigger. And as we grow, we encourage other people. It will become a place where others want to be. And when I wrote that, I was like, wow, God, is the God that I am portraying to other people, the Jesus I am portraying to other people, is that causing people to want to know who God is, to want to know who Jesus is? And it just made me think. I was like, okay, what is the fruit that I'm producing? What is being seen by others? When I think about the concepts of the mustard seed and yeast, I think about my garden, as I've been talking about already. And like the seeds that I've shared with you today, and these are all from my collection of seeds that I can't stop buying. Okay, so I'm turning into a seed hoarder too. And now my okra won't stop growing, and they're getting really big. So I think I have like 15 pieces of okra on my counter that I'm just trying to dry out. I was like, I'll save them for seeds, because a lot of the research and homesteading and things, people are like, you got to do seed saving. You don't know, you know, when you may not be able to get particular seeds. So I'm saving these okra seeds because I've learned about the growth process. I've learned that you don't let them get as big as I let them get, because you can cook them for 5 hours and they're still going to be like a tree. And not like the one planted by the rivers of water. I mean, it's tough. My soup was done and it tastes good, but I tried the okra and I'm like, I literally picked all the okra out of my stew because I couldn't let it cook any longer and we were hungry. I like to think of it, of this concept of sharing the things that we are cultivating. Sharing it with others like a garden share box. And I do plan on, husband, I do plan on having a garden share box in my yard. A whole quarter of our land, I want to turn all the way into a garden. Not just for me, because I like to can and to bake and things like that, but so that I can share with others. And I know, I don't think, Philly's not here today, but I've gotten herbs from her. I've gotten pears from her. I've got tomatoes from Carrie. I mean, we're just all sharing. And like, no money is being passed. And think of it, if we were all helping to provide for our community And it doesn't mean that you have to turn your whole lawn into a garden. I mean, if you do, that's great. You may have seen some of the pictures online that says less lawns, more gardens. Okay, but not just for you, for the bugs and things like that also. But just think, if we could all come together with the one thing or two things that we have and share them with the community. You may have cows, you may have pigs. And, you know, and as I was reading through some of these scriptures, I ran into some like, you know, sell all your possessions and give to the poor. I'm not talking about that, okay? That may be for another time, and if that's what on your heart, but just sharing what we have without money. And, you know, even as I've gone to farmers markets and things and seen what other people have going and began to talk to them and I've cultivated relationships. Never said Jesus. Never said, are you a Christian? Do you know who Jesus is? Come talk to me about my Jesus. But being kind to people, showing love to people, sharing with people that don't look like you, that don't sound like you, that don't act like you. You are building the kingdom of God. 2 Corinthians 9:10 through 11 says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seeds and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Verse 11 says, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. There have been random people that I've seen online that have said, oh, my family's going through a hard time. You know, we need food. And, you know, Roy and I would just go look in the cabinet and we're like, okay, well, this will make a meal, this, and go give it out. Not because we know them, not just because we want to share what we have. And I'm confident in that when you share, even at a sacrifice, that God is going to bless you in according to your giving. Community is very important and is talked about a lot in the Bible. So I want to point out a few scriptures before I get done. And I encourage you, even if, you know, we probably won't have time for you to write the verses out, but just write the scriptures. Check your concordance, get on Bible Gateway, and like type in community and see what God has to say about community because it's important. Acts 2:42-47 says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Verse 44 says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions and gave it to anyone who needed. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. We're meeting in the temple courts right now. Okay, this is us meeting. This is us coming together. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the peoples. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. So when we get new people that come in, no matter what they look like, hug them, love them. Okay, because you don't know who God is sending in. You don't know the love or the peace or the joy that you should be sharing with other people to help them all grow. Hebrews 13:16 says, and do not forget to do good and share with others. For with such sacrifice, God is pleased. Proverbs 11:24-25 says, one person gives freely, yet another one gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. So, and as much as I like buying in bulk and storing things, I will open up my 5 gallon of flour and fill up a Ziploc bag and share. Whatever it is, you know, I'm willing to share. Or if you need to come to my house and cook something, just it's all yours. Because it's a blessing and a gift that God has given us. But what are we doing with it? While there are more scriptures about community and sharing with others, I encourage you to begin to do your own studying also. Learn about God's heart for sharing with others and building the community. Are you willing to be the mustard seed in the community? Are you ready to see the growth that God provides to change the texture and the look of our community? Let's pray. Lord God, we are so grateful to be here today. We're grateful for your love and your mercy, your forgiveness, your hope, your peace that you give to us even when we don't deserve it, even when we don't show the fruits of the Spirit, even though we may walk away from you, you consistently come back and say, my child, I still love you. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've gone, who you've been around. Our Father loves us so much. And God, we thank you that you give us that unconditional love. Lord, I pray that we don't get so haughty with collecting things for ourselves. But we get things and we say, how can I be a blessing to someone else? How can I share this with someone else? God, we pray that you help us to show your love and your peace to everyone around us. Even when we don't speak your name, Lord, let us literally drip with those qualities. Encourage us, God, as we are working to heal those areas in our lives that we struggle with. If it's forgiveness, if it's hatred, whatever it is, Lord, I pray that we can release it to you. I pray that we can trust you enough to hand it over to you so that the seeds in our lives that we are trying to cultivate, God, will produce fruit. Lord, I pray over everyone in this building that their lives will produce fruit, that their lives will even change the texture of our community, will cause growth. Lord God, let the weight of your glory be seen in our lives every day. When we're walking through the grocery store, when we're at the kids' sports games, Lord God, let people see you in us. I pray that the positive things that we are cultivating in our lives, God, will also help someone else. As we heal, Lord, help others to heal. As we grow and we get larger, Lord, I pray that the shade that is given will be comforting to someone. Lord, I pray that people can find safety and refuge and peace through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.